You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast here with William Hill, looking at the Premier League matches this weekend. It's myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio alongside Lee Phelps.
Hello.
Good morning, Lee. And Derek McGovern's on the line as well, the man with the award-winning accumulator. Derek McGovern has joined us.
Good day, chaps.
How are you doing, sir?
Yes, very well. After the award-winning Acca, 222-1. My Macca Acca in the paper. The Macca Acca, living proof that rhyme does pay.
When I saw that, I thought it was one of those, not the Teletubbies, but from the In the Night Garden. Is it Macca Packa? Not the Macca Acca.
Yeah, but you know what? The funny thing was, 222-1, I mean, that's a one-in-a-lifetime Acca, that one. But when I was looking back at it was so obvious, wasn't it? I mean, Aston Villa to beat Liverpool, we went for it on a podcast anyway. Tottenham only had to turn up at Newcastle to win, which they did. West Brom at Crystal Palace, overpriced at 7-2, and Stoke at home to Sunderland. At home to Southampton, massively priced. You know, therefore, even Lee could have tipped, and yet you're getting 222-1.
I think I did, actually.
Incredible. I've now got enough money to last me the rest of my life, providing I don't buy anything.
I've always said this is easy, Derek. Let's hope it remains that way this weekend. We start off with Southampton versus Tottenham. Southampton in the market at 21-20. The draw 12-5. Tottenham 13-5. 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Headline offers here: Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is in the market at 3-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 5-1. Derek, Tottenham a point clear of Southampton in the race for that European spot, but both teams in slightly indifferent form at the moment. The last five matches, they've both won two apiece, lost two and drawn one. Southampton come into this on the back of that 3-1 win at Newcastle, while Southampton were beaten at Stoke last weekend. Southampton, though, just scored 8 goals in their last 11 Premier League matches, and Spurs have won the last 5 meetings between the two sides as well.
And they're nearly 3-1.
Yeah.
Go figure. I just can't understand it. It's happened all season long. Your odds compilers are overrating Southampton too, and now it's become absurd, the degree they're overrating. I mean, Stoke were nearly 3-1 at home to them last week, for goodness sake. And you know, okay, Tottenham aren't hitting the heights, but now they're at Southampton. They can't score. They're keeping faith with the Italian Pele, who's looking one pace, moderate. You know, I've never rated them anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, Modric plays for Real Madrid, mate.
Tottenham, I think Tottenham are a fantastic bet, and that record against them, you know, 5 wins in 5. Including the one in the reverse fixture when Pochettino was manager, of course. You know, going back to his old club, I can't see why these odds are the way they are. And you know, if you're a punter of any standing, which I like to think I am, you've got to back Tottenham here. But Lee is obviously going to go for Tottenham.
13-5.
I'm not sure.
Tottenham to win this game. I was waiting for that.
I'm looking forward to this. Is the BT Sport game, isn't it? I'm waiting. Yeah, BT Sport really hype everything. I'm waiting for it to be like Saints versus Spurs, the battle for 5th. Wow. It's hard to get much enthusiasm up for this, isn't it? Interesting you were saying about the goals for Southampton. They scored 29 at home. And I thought, God, they haven't scored many. 8 of those, of course, against Sunderland in one game. So when you start to think, I mean, you can't take that away from them, obviously. But, you know, they scored 8 against Sunderland, 4 against Newcastle, who have turned out to be 2 of the worst teams in the division. So, you know, you suddenly think, yeah, they don't score enough goals. But that defence is still absolutely rock solid, still the second best home defence in the division. I'm worried about which Tottenham turn up. You know, last week, you know, your nap, DK, it looked... an unbelievable price once you saw that Newcastle team just standing off them. I think they may be flattered a little by that. I still can't get that 0-0 at Burnley out of my head, and I just wonder if they struggle to break Burnley down, can they break Southampton down? And I'm thinking the answer to that is no. There could be a goal apiece in this, but I think it will be under 2.5. I'm plumping for the draw, so I'm not going to go for Southampton. I think both would probably settle for the draw, and given their league positions, you know, 57 points for Tottenham, 56 for Southampton, it's probably a fair result as well, to be honest. One thing I did notice, though, about at Southampton when they play the best teams at home. So all the other top five teams that they've played at home, only once have they conceded goals to actual out-and-out strikers. When Man United beat them, Robin Van Persie scored both the goals. In all the other games against the big clubs, it's been, you know, more not an out-and-out striker, it's been more like a midfielder scoring. I mean, Chelsea drew 1-1, Hazard scored. Even when they lost to City, it was Toure, Lampard and Clichy. So I'm wondering, you know, maybe that defence is built on fantastic centre-back performances and they can keep a lid on the strikers. But maybe the runners from midfield is where they struggle. And a man who scored last week, who got back off his off a little bit of a drought, is Christian Eriksen. Mm. And I think he might be worth a little look at for any time goal at 13-5 for Tottenham. You know, I think if...
Yeah, that's a persuasive case, Ali.
Thanks. The problem is I don't think there'll be many goals in it, but it might be that it's a free kick or a set piece that wins it or gets the goal for Tottenham. So I'm going for the draw. As my main bet.
Okay, that's your main bet.
I do
bet
like Christian Eriksen.
If you look at the draw and under 2.5 goals, you mentioned there as well, 3-1. So that's for the 0-0 draw or the 1-1 draw.
Do you know
what?
I wouldn't play that.
Would you not?
The reason is I don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2-2. I just don't. You know, it should be unders. But at the minute, I'm looking at teams one week and then looking at the next week and thinking, where did that come from?
Yep.
Where did that performance, why was it so bad or why was it so good? So I'm just going to play the straight draw.
12-5, the draw. Southampton versus Tottenham is the lunchtime kickoff, 12:45 p.m. on Saturday. The tea time kickoff is Manchester City versus Aston Villa. This is a 5:30 p.m. start time. Man City 1-4 to win this match. The draw 5-1, Aston Villa 10-1. Headline offers here: Yaya Toure to score and Man City to win is 7-4. Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 14-1. Lee, something you've mentioned repeatedly on the podcast over the course of about the last month, it was always
there's another loser.
It was always going to be difficult for Manchester City to respond once the title was out of their grasp. But Manuel Pellegrini will know that it's imperative for his side to grab at least third in the league so they don't have to go through a qualification round for the Champions League next season.
Yeah, definitely. I was disappointed with them against West Ham. I don't know if either of you watched the game, but I mean, obviously they went into the league, got the own goal, 2 up by half time, game over, fair enough. But they were lucky not to concede to West Ham in the second half. They went really off the boil. I don't know if it was complacency or carelessness or a combination of both. But I thought, you know, anyone who backed them to nil would have been sweating, I think, watching the end of that game. You know, and you just worry if West Ham had been more about it, then maybe they could have got something. Well, you know, Aston Villa certainly are. You know, 32 points, dragging themselves away from the relegation zone. The cup final to come, of course. I don't know how much that'll impact on them. I don't think that Sherwood will have let them, you know, celebrate too much. You know, it's not, you know, I'll get to the final, but it's not like you've won the thing. So I think that they should go into this pretty buoyant and in reasonable, confident mood. The interesting thing about that Liverpool game was the fact that they managed to kind of, they've been trying to do this ever since Sherwood took over, and that's hit Benteke more often, and obviously his goals have increased because he's the focal point. And I think they managed to turn Liverpool around a little bit. And if they employ those same sort of tactics and sit back and try and use their pace and get beyond the City midfield, because they do push up a bit, City, and we know that they don't like tracking back too much, I think they could possibly get something here. I don't know if I'm brave enough to go for Aston Villa at 10-1, but I can quite happily back Benteke at 9-4 to score in the game as a kind of Weasley way out, if you like.
Don't weasel. Have the courage of your conviction.
Are you going to go for that? I thought you might go for Villa.
I think Villa are a great bet. And right. I don't understand why you said, well, they're safe from relegation. They're only 4 points ahead of Leicester.
No, so I said they were dragging themselves away from relegation. Yeah, they're fighting for their lives, really.
Well, they are. So there's no giving up the ghost on this one.
No.
The FA Cup final, should it be on their mind, is not till like, you know, the end of May, isn't it? It's ages away. And they're playing
Jonathan,
a City team, you know, who've lost 4 of their last 6. The only teams they've beaten in that spell were West Brom, who were down to 10 men for most of the game, and West Ham, who, you know, were useless, as we know. They are there for the taking. And you're right about Benteke, the goals he's scoring now, and he's going to bully the City defence. Yeah. Company's not playing. City have given up the ghost. They look unrecognisable. And I'm on Aston Villa all day. Right. They were sensational against Liverpool last week. They were miles the better team. And the 10-1 to beat an off-form City, ridiculous price.
10-1 Aston Villa. I don't think it's as much looking ahead to the FA Cup. It's whether or not they They're still hungover following that yeah. semi-final win.
I don't think they'll have been allowed to party too much.
Well, Jack Grealish did, didn't he?
classic tabloid stuff, wasn't it? Again, it was a year ago, wasn't it? That picture was nowhere near the first team then, was it? I presume.
I was reading about that this epic. It makes you euphoric. Apparently, that's the high end. The low comes when you realise you still play for Villa. That's what a come down that is.
Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win might tempt some at 14-1, but Aston Villa. 10-1 to win the match. It's a 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Man City 1-4. The draw 5-1. Aston Villa in the market at 10-1. So, what's your main bet in the match, Lee?
My main bet in the match is Benteke to score at any time, 9-4.
And you're going straight Villa win, Derek, at 10.
Listen, that 1-4 Man City, that would be the price you'd get for City in this game. If they were running for the... You know, like when they were in the pump a couple of seasons ago, I can't imagine them to have been any shorter than that then.
It's a good point.
And the crap now. It's massive bill of that, 10-1.
On to Sunday's live matches. Everton versus Manchester United is first up, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. Everton 23-10. The draw is 23-10. Manchester United in the market at 6-5. Derek, Manchester United actually lost on their last couple of trips to Goodison. But even though they were beaten at Stamford Bridge last weekend, they were by no means disgraced. They dominated possession in that match, Derek, but didn't really create many clear-cut chances.
Not many do against Chelsea. Not when Mourinho parked the bus. He parked the bus at home against Man United, didn't he? That was and he got a bit of Hazard brilliance, got the goal. I wouldn't hold that against United. I thought, I mentioned that, though it grieves me to say, they've turned the corner big time under the Van Flapface. They're the best team in the league at the moment, Man United. And the 6-5 to win at Everton, who were far from that. I cleaned up last week, and I can't see me not cleaning up again this week. I think United are a fantastic bet.
Okay, Manchester United 6-5. You're slightly concerned that Wayne Rooney might be forced to play midfield again because Radamel Falcao, Derek, he's 7-4 to score any time in this match. He should be that price to hit the target, really.
I remember watching that guy in it. Was it the Super Cup against Chelsea a couple of seasons ago? Or maybe three seasons ago. And I thought, Jesus, what a player.
Yeah.
And he's unrecognisable now, isn't he? It's obviously injury must have taken it. Maybe a lack of confidence has got something to do with it as well. But at the moment, United aren't relying on individuals, are they? It's what they're winning with team efforts. I mean, every player at the moment is playing above himself. A couple of months ago, it was quite the opposite. Not one single player had improved under Van Gaal. I don't know how he's done it. I haven't got a clue, but he's done it, and they're going to win at Everton.
Derek, confident with Manchester United at 6-5.
I reckon if we carry this podcast on for, say, 5 years, Derek will be a Man United fan.
It will be, he could be.
Every week he's getting more and more glowing.
That won't happen.
It just shows you that his hatred...
It's not a big stretch. The red's already there. You know, it's only a little change of badge.
There are injury concerns for Manchester United because they missed Michael Carrick, Phil Jones, Daley Blind and Marcus Rojo against Chelsea, which forced Wayne Rooney to drop into midfield, and they didn't have that potency in attack because of that. It's going to be interesting to see whether any of those players regain fitness and Wayne Rooney can re-establish himself as the lone striker in this match, which would be beneficial to Manchester United.
I think it would be. I think they're going to struggle to break Everton down. I've been looking at this game and I can't see past the draw myself. Man United have scored 19 goals away from home in 16 games, which is nowhere near prolific, is it? 1-5. Admittedly, two of those wins were at Arsenal and at Liverpool, which were obviously good results. From memory, I think Arsenal deserved a bit more out of it than losing 2-1. But anyhow, they've drawn 7 of their away games as well. Everton's really interesting because you look at their form and their recent form, and they're playing great, aren't they? There's unbeaten for a while. Haven't played anyone of too much consequence. Beat Southampton. And I was thinking, I thought they would be right up there in terms of goals conceded in that table. They've conceded 18 goals, which I thought, God, that's a lot. They conceded 11 of those 18 in the first 3 games. So they conceded 7 goals in the next 13 matches after those 3. And then they lost 6-3 to Chelsea, 2-2 against Arsenal, and they lost 3-2 to Palace. So they've been really good at home ever since then. And, they've only lost one in that run as well. So I don't see them losing this. I think it'll be a draw. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 0-0. I was really hoping that the under 2.5, it would be a pick'em. But it's 7 to 10 for the under 2.5. So I'm leaning towards under 1.5 at 9 to 4 and taking the outright out of it. But I wouldn't mind having a sneaky little bet on the 0-0, 17 to 2. I'm going to have it. I'm going to do it. 0-0, 17 to 2.
Good stuff. Everton versus Manchester United. Everton 23 to 10. The draw 23 to 10. Man United 6 to 5. Derek Strong on Manchester United at 6 to 5. And Lee going for the 0-0 draw at 17 to 2.
If Derek's lands, the only thing I want to happen if Man United win is Fellaini to score the winner. Just for Derek.
Marouane Fellaini.
Mug bet, extraordinaire, that, wasn't
7
it?
To 1 to score first and last. 2 to 1 to get a goal at any time. Arsenal versus Chelsea, big match. 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Arsenal 29 to 20. The draw is 9 to 4. Chelsea in the market at 19 to 10. Headline offers here. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 4 to 1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win in the market at 5 to 1. Lee, Arsenal have picked up the most points of any team in the Premier League this calendar year, with 33 points already on the board, and they're in the driving seat to take that second spot behind Chelsea in the Premier League. But Arsene Wenger down the years against Jose Mourinho has just got a dreadful record, hasn't he? Last 12 meetings as opposition managers, Mourinho's won 7 and drawn 5. Doesn't seem to be able to find a way to win against Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, I listened to his press conference and he was trying to set the positives out of it, saying, "Yeah, we haven't lost them all." Yeah, only seven of them. You know, five draws. Fair enough. Look, it's probably the best of chance that they'll ever get, isn't it? This really, I mean, you know,
you think so?
Obviously flying. Like as you said, they would be top of the table if the table started on, I think it's Boxing Day or January the 1st, whenever you want to take it from. 10 points behind Chelsea. Chelsea could quite easily go into freewheeling now and just coast into the title, I think. It's just whether Arsenal want to go for it and try and peg them back, or they want to take a point with that game in hand and know that they can then put a 4-point cushion between them and Manchester, 5-point cushion between them and Manchester United. I'm not quite sure what, if Wenger goes for it, which would be brilliant if he went for it, then I think it'll drag Chelsea out. Chelsea don't always park the bus against Arsenal. They beat them 6-0 last year, remember? So, you know, it's not like they will always do that, but it's hard to see anything other than a repeat of what Chelsea did at home. Their style of play is actually suited better to them being away from home, where they can sit in, wait for Arsenal to make a mistake, and then hit them and rely on one of their brilliant players to finish the chance, i.e. Hazard.
It helps, though, doesn't it, that Chelsea have nothing left. They're not playing in Europe, so they can focus entirely on the Premier League.
Yep.
Usually at this point in the season, they'd have one eye on a European match coming up, and that maybe they'd take the foot off the pedal because of that. But the 10 points clear, cruising to title success, but they're still, this is their only competition they're involved in, which is good for them.
Yeah, great. And to be fair, I mean, you know, I'm kind of making a case there that they could be slightly off it. I think if they were to win this, then they could win the title at Leicester on Wednesday, is it?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that to play for. But after it all, I think Chelsea are the better team. I think Chelsea will go into it the same way they went into the Man United game. Mourinho loves a draw against fellow title rivals. It kind of debilitates them a little bit, doesn't it? It takes a bit off them. So I'm going to think that Chelsea will dominate the tactics in the game and they will keep Arsenal down to the bare minimum. So I'm looking at the same kind of result as I went for in the Chelsea Man U game. The under 2.5 on the goals, which is 4-6, but the draw. I went for the draw last week. I thought the draw would happen. I'm going to go for the draw again here at 9-4. I'm going for loads of draws this weekend, actually, which is unusual. 9-4, the draw for me.
You're dead right to say that. I mean, you went for 0-0 in the Everton Man United game. This has got 0-0 screaming all over the place. Just as two of the last three seasons has finished in 0-0 in this fixture. Why wouldn't it this time around? He's going to park the bus, isn't he, again, Mourinho? And you mentioned that he could win the league. You know, a victory over Arsenal, they could win the league at Leicester on Wednesday. But would they want to do that, given that they won it anyway?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they want to do it, you know, maybe take a point here, beat Leicester, and then, you know, next week win it at home? I just think that's Mourinho's kind of mind.
To be fair, they're good enough to do that, Derek, as well, aren't they?
Well, it's Sunday,
I think it's a Sunday 1:30 kickoff, the game after that. So it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Celebration on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And this Premier League's that bad that they could, it'd be funny that they can pick and choose.
They're like a boxer who outclasses his opponent. He can pick whatever round he wants. He can tell his mate to get fill the boots. And believe me, that's happened a few times. I've never been party to it, but it's happened. It's going to be 0-0 this. And interestingly, I'm just looking at the Hill's odds, the full odds for this game, and now the team to score is 8-1. But under 0.5 goals is 9-1, which, you know, it's neither here nor there, but it's a point difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals at around a 2-1 mark, because I just can't see there being many goals in this at all.
A couple of bits of team news as well ahead of this match. Per Mertesacker, only 50-50 for the game. It seems strange to say it, but he'd be a pretty big miss for Arsenal, because he should he's got the physical presence to cope with Didier Drogba, who's likely to start up front for Chelsea in the absence of Diego Costa, and Loic Remy likely to be out as well. Drogba's got a great record against Arsenal historically, Lee, but he doesn't look anything like the same player he once was.
No, he seemed to spend most of his time, you know, helping out with defensive duties, yeah, didn't he? So, yeah, I think if they are going to score Chelsea, it'll be from midfield. Derek, what did you say those prices were? So no score is 9-1.
No, neither team to score is 8-1.
Yeah, 8-1.
And under 0.5 goals is 9-1.
So 0-0, 17-2, and no score is 15-2.
So they're all different.
Well, you can understand the difference in those, can't you? But the ones I've you because of the, you know, the own goal. But in the two markets I've just said, that doesn't figure.
Yeah.
Still the 9-1 under half a goal looks better than the 0-0 at 17-2. There can't be that strong a likelihood that there's an own goal in the match, you wouldn't think anyway. Under half a goal at 9-1, the play for Derek, and Arsenal 29-20 to win the match. The draw 9-4, Chelsea 19-10. On to the non-televised fixtures this weekend. We'll start with West Brom versus Liverpool. West Brom 11-4, the draw 12-5, and Liverpool in the market at even money. Derek, you've been talking for a few weeks about the wheels starting to fall off at Liverpool, and it was a disaster really at Wembley on Sunday. Not only the loss in that match against Aston Villa, but the manner of the defeat, they were comprehensively outplayed by Aston Villa.
They were shocking, but I mean, the reason I went for Villa, because Villa were in good form too, but Liverpool, that result has been coming for a long time, because they've been shocking for an awful long time. People got fooled by that 2-0 win over Newcastle, but, you know, that form is totally devalued. They were awful against Blackburn in their match before in the Cup. It's a long time since I saw a good Liverpool performance. They're playing without confidence. Opposing teams are Shaqiri and Coutinho, who seems to be the only man with, you know, any ingenuity. And I just can't see how they're going to get anything from this game. Earlier in the week, they were odds on with Hills. I mean, that's got to be the worst bet in the world, and I've had a few of those. They've gone out to evens now. But who on earth would back Liverpool? I know they've got something to play for, i.e., you know, that chance of getting fourth place. But I don't even think the most ardent Liverpool fan thinks that's on the cards anymore. Especially they've still got to play Chelsea as well, I think, Liverpool, haven't they? West Brom, you know, they stopped the rot. Two or three bad results they'd had, and then they stopped the rot big time against the banging form Palace team last week, won 2-0 at Palace. I just can't see anything other than a West Brom win here. I think Liverpool right now, like Newcastle, Liverpool and Newcastle are the teams you just want to oppose. And when you get nearly 3-1 for West Brom, fantastic price.
11-4 West Brom, and just to elaborate on something Derek said, Tony Pulis knows how to set his teams up against Liverpool as well. You look at his record at home in the Premier League against Liverpool, he's won 3 and drawn 3. So he knows how to combat Liverpool's strengths.
Yeah, he does. It's interesting, Derek, isn't it? Because if you're right in Villa, well, say, you know, I know it's a bit of a flyer, but if Villa were to beat Man City and Liverpool were to win here, there'd only be 4 points in it between Liverpool and Man City for that fourth spot. And, you know, look at Liverpool's running. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying, really, for Liverpool fans and for the club, they should be looking at this and thinking, we can really have a go here. West Brom, Hull, QPR, yep, they've got Chelsea, but Chelsea's probably won the title by then. In fact, they will have won the title by then. So you don't quite know if they'll be bang up for it. Palace as well, Stoke. I mean, not all those are winnable games, but there's a lot in there for Liverpool. I just don't see the motivation. There's nothing left. The disappointment must have been palpable after that FA Cup semi-final, not only for Gerrard, etc., but just, you know, that the season just fell away there. It was almost a given, I think, for a lot of Liverpool fans that I spoke to, that they were going to get to the final. So I think there might be a bit of a hangover from this. I was really surprised at West Brom's result last weekend. I can't call West Brom at the minute. I thought they would batten down the hatches against QPR and Leicester. They let in 4-3. Then they went to inform Palace and won 2-0. I'm struggling, really. I think anything could happen here. Honestly, I think it could be a 2-2. It could be anything. But I'm going to go for a man who's done me a few favours this season. That's Sadio Berahino to score. The trade has never never seemed to reduce him much from around the 2-1 mark, to be fair. He's 19-10 to score here. West Brom 10 to score. They scored in a lot of their home games, scored against Man City, scored against Man United as well, so you know they've got goals in them. So yeah, him to score. I think he's the sort of player, the arrogant kind of player, who would look at Liverpool and think, yeah, they need a striker. I might be able to engineer myself a movie. One of those games where he plays out of his skin for one game only, just because it's a, you know, he could maybe court Liverpool a little bit. So yeah, 19-10 for Berahino.
Good stuff. 19-10 Berahino to score in that West Brom-Liverpool match. Next up, it's Stoke versus Sunderland. Stoke 10-11, the draw 23-10, and Sunderland in the market at 100-30. Two headline offers: John Walters to score and Stoke to win is 3-1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is 8-1. Lee, Stoke don't really have anything to play for, but they still managed to beat Southampton last weekend. And Sunderland's 1-0 win against Newcastle a couple of weeks ago is looking like a false dawn, because they were thrashed by Crystal Palace. That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, that game against Crystal Palace? I just wonder whether that break has done Sunderland the world of good, and Dick Advocaat, who's not been there very long, might be able to engineer something here. But they look so poor, don't they, Sunderland? Every time I see them, you think they're the worst team in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's a toss-up between them and Newcastle, isn't it? The North East is going through the doldrums at the moment. That performance against Crystal Palace, wow. I mean, it was just shocking. I could go into all sorts of stats and all that, but I think Stoke at 10-11 are a great bet. I really do. They're just beating Southampton. You know, Southampton are obviously a much better team than Sunderland. They scored two past Southampton, who, we've got one of the best defences in the Premier League. So I see no reason to be greedy or go for anything else. I think you could go Stoke and over 2.5, because if Stoke score, Sunderland will have to come out and attack and go for it to try and get back in the game, because it's getting towards the stage now where Sunderland, they're on that classic Ronism, the Glass Mountain, aren't they? They are the Glass Mountain team. 29 points, so three above bottom and only a point above the drop zone, with a much worse goal difference than Hull or Leicester.
Yeah.
It's even worse than QPR's, and only two better than Burnley's. So, you know, Sunderland could still finish bottom of this pile. Stoke, 10-11.
Stoke at 10-11, and Derek Lee mentioned there it's not good for the North East at the moment, but the only thing I reckon cheering the Sunderland fans up is Newcastle are just as bad.
Yeah, I mean, it could actually finish higher than Newcastle the way things are going. They'll have to improve an awful lot, but you know, because there's a few points separating at the moment. But that's how bad Newcastle are. Sunderland are shocking, there's no doubt about it. But you look at their away form, you know. They've only lost 6 away from home. Aston Villa have lost 10. Newcastle have lost 10. They don't lose that often on the road, really, considering how bad they are. Quite remarkable. And the thing about Stoke is, yeah, I always look for clues from what the manager has to say after the game. And I remember Mark Hughes in a recent game saying, we've got so many home games left, you know, we'll be giving it our all in that. Given almost his players carte blanche to take the foot off the gas away from home, but, you know, really doing it for the home fans. So you've got to take notice of that. But the odds on here. I can't back Stoke at odds on when last week I was getting almost 3-1 for them to beat Southampton. We've missed a boat on them here. Well, I haven't, because I were in my acca. But, you know, any other punts that come
to the
park.
What acca is this?
Didn't I mention it?
No,
I'm going to go for another, my old favourite, 0-0 draw here. Because the thing is, Sunderland are in dire straits, but they're on 29 points. They're still 3 points away from the drop zone. And a point here and there, points in, you know, tricky away fixtures, you can imagine might just get them out of trouble. They're not going to give anything away. Stoke, we have try to break them down for the first hour. Ain't happening. Oh, God, you know, take it easy now. I can see this finishing 0-0.
15-2 for the 0-0 draw in that match. Big game from a relegation perspective. Saturday, 3 p.m, Burnley versus Leicester is next up. Burnley, 29-20. The draw is 9-4. Leicester in the market at 19-10. Danny Ings to score and Burnley to win is 4-1. Leonardo Ojoa to score and Leicester to win is also 4-1. Derek, there's bound to be some tension at Turf Moor for this one, because this match could decide Burnley's fate, really. Winning the back in and losing, they're surely doomed here, Derek.
I think so. And, you know, Leicester have got momentum behind them, haven't they? Yeah, some of their recent results and performances have been fantastic. I looked at their squad and I thought, well, that's a team going down. They haven't got Premier League quality. But somehow they've acquired it, because they've been sensational in recent weeks. OK, they've only beaten West Brom and West Ham and Swansea, you know, team beatable. But Burnley have been struggling against them, and Burnley just don't score. Leicester are scoring, and I can see a Leicester win here.
Leicester 19-10 to win this game. It has been a great run because they did look dead and buried a month ago, Leicester City. They've beaten West Ham, West Brom and Swansea in consecutive league matches. And if they get a point here, they might escape the relegation zone for the first time in a long time. Interesting to see the team news here as well, because David Nugent, playing against his former club, he's got a great record against Burnley. He's scored in 8 of his last 11 nice. Against his former club, Burnley. But he is a doubt for the game. But he's 7-4 to score any time if he does make the lineup.
Yeah, which isn't a bad price, is it, for one of their main strikers? Joe got back on the score sheet, didn't he? And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Leicester haven't been playing badly all season long. They've had a bit of bad luck and they haven't been able to finish games off and all the rest of it. But they seem to be kind of almost bookending their season with a good patch of form. They started out great, seemed to be finishing great. And obviously when they started great, it was mainly down to Ojoa's goals. Yes. So I'm wondering if it's worth getting back on the Ojoa bandwagon here at 7-4, because he may well be one of those streak scorers who we see. He's not going to bag loads, is he? But you know, he might bag in like 3 consecutive games. This is certainly a game where he'd be looking to win. Scott, and I think Leicester will be looking to win it. You know, you mentioned that a point might do them, but I don't think a point does either of them any good at all. I think Leicester will go out and try and win this game. It's just interesting to see what Burnley do, because they don't score many goals. They don't win many games at home. You know, obviously they beat Man City, but by sitting back, they beat QPR.
I think Burnley needs 3 points here.
Definitely. So they have to come out and have a go for it, which plays into Leicester's hands of being able to sit back a little bit and hit them on the break. I see goals here. And it's going against the grain a little bit. But over 2.5 goals is even money. And I can see that. Whoever scores first, you really, if you get an early goal, this game could be over 3.5. So if you're looking at in play, then I think if you see an early goal either way, then they're going to have to attack. But either way, I'll play safe and go over 2.5 at even money. I think I'd err on the Leicester side as well at 19-10. But yeah, Ojoa 19-10 would be my other bet.
7-4.
What did I say?
19-10.
Yeah, 7-4. Yeah, sorry, Leicester 19-9. Yeah, 7-4. Trying to eke a little bit extra.
Nice
by the way, where did all these new prices come? I mean, years ago, you know, when I was in maybe 20s and all, you never got any of these kind of prices.
The most
outlandish was 100-8 on Grand National Day.
There were only 3 bookmakers back then, though. Yeah.
But I don't know who's me.
Using the metrics.
7-4, 19-10. What's the difference?
We've got one of the, I can't remember who it is now, I'll try and find it. One of the guys on Twitter always like does his nut when you say 7-10 is the same as even money.
Yeah,
or
close.
You
know, close to even money.
I don't know. He must be having a grand on, this lad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Sorry if you're having a quid on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Crystal Palace versus Hull is next. Crystal Palace 21-20. The draw 21-10. Hull in the market at 3-1. Alan Pardew definitely succeeded at Crystal Palace this season. He's dragged them to safety, but they've also got some good players that have hit a rich vein of form recently as well, Lee, at the back end of the season. Yannick Bolasie looks like a really good player. And we've mentioned on numerous occasions Glenn Murray's goal-scoring prowess as well. They might have taken their eye off the ball, though, with nothing left to play for. And they were beaten at West Brom at home last Saturday as well, Lee.
Mm. Yeah, they experimented a little bit last week, didn't they? And went to change the formation to a 4-3-3, brought a few different players in. So it'd be interesting to see if he goes back to that 4-2-3-1 that had been getting him so much success. I think he'll get a reaction out of them here. I don't think he'll let them down tools, because, you know, he's fresh to the job, isn't he? And I guess they must have a bit of freshness. I suppose there's always going to be a bit of, little bit of that, you know, just in the back of your mind, ticking your foot off the pedal, you've got 42 points. But I think they will look to bounce back here. And I think there's a few games like this where if Palace, in an ideal world, Hull will play for a 0-0 draw and hit them on the break and nick all 3. Because again, Hull need to get points. They're 28 points. They're one of those teams who are right down there with Sunderland and the bottom 3. So I think if Palace score, it'll drag Hull out. And Hull will have to come and play then. I think then we're looking at some goals. I think I'm looking at going overs on the goals in a lot of these games involving the relegation threatened teams. So the over 2.5 in this one is priced up at 13-10. I think that's way too big.
13-10 for Lee. And Lee mentioned earlier about Sunderland being on the glass mountain. Hull right there alongside them.
Well, it just shows you how bad the Premier League is, that Hull aren't already in the bottom 3 the way they've shaped all season. I've lost count of the number of times I've been tempted into backing them away from home at fancy prices, and they've been clobbered each time. I'm going to give him another go. You know what? The 3-1 to win at Palace on Saturday, and then when your odds compile, they've already priced up the midweek games. They're at home to Liverpool, and they're almost 4-1 at home to Liverpool. I'd rather be on that one. Mm. You know, we're definitely. But I still think there's mileage in the 3-1 here because Palace gave signs last week, big, big signs that, you know, that's it for the season. That was, you know, after three great wins they'd had, or four was it great wins, to lose at home to a West Brom side that had been softened up by three straight defeats, that was a poor result. And you search for clues as punters, and that's got to be a clue that the flip-flops are on. And they're not that great at home anyway, by the way, Palace. No team in the Premier League this season has lost more games than Palace at home. That's quite an interesting stat, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been on fire. Once Palace came in, they were on fire away from home, weren't they?
Yeah, it was away from home they've been doing it. And I, my old favourite, you know, a Premier League team away from home at 3-1 when they're not going to one of the big clubs. I have to back it. I've done it too often now to miss out on this one. But if Hull don't win this, that's it. I'm not going to back any ever again, apart from on Wednesday against Liverpool.
and then in the Championship next season.
3-1 hole for me, too big.
Newcastle, Swansea. Newcastle 7-5. The draw 21-10. Swansea in the market at 21-10. Derek, since John Carver took charge at Newcastle, only QPR have fewer points than Newcastle. They've now lost six straight Premier League matches.
Well, I mean, he's just not up to it, is he, really? I mean,
no, he's not.
Yeah, you know, and everybody in the northeast, well, in Newcastle anyway, hates Mike Astley because under him they've got no chance of winning trophies. But you know, these are the fans of Newcastle who, before Ashley's arrival, hadn't won a trophy in a zillion years. Anyway, I'm not defending Ashley. He's been a disaster for them. But you know, let's get real. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, 150-1 Newcastle, there were worse bets than that to go down. And I said because I couldn't see where their next point is coming from. And after watching them last week against Tottenham, I still can't see it. 35 points. Would that be enough, do you think, to stay up? I'm not sure it would, given that Leicester have got a game in hand over them and the 7 points behind. And Leicester have got 9 points in their last three games. You know, they've got momentum. Newcastle have got the opposite. What you're asking, who's going to win this? Well, it's got to be Swansea. You just oppose Newcastle.
Swansea, they're a big price as well, 21-10, over 2-1 for Swansea. By the way, Newcastle now 33-1 here with William Hill to be relegated this season. It's an intriguing match because Swansea, prior to that defeat against Leicester, hadn't been in awful form. They'd actually picked up 7 points from their three previous matches before losing to Leicester last weekend.
Yeah, I know, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a tough match this one.
I watched the Newcastle Tottenham game and God, they were bad. I mean, they were so bad. You know, they just didn't. It was like a 15-minute spell where they looked all right. But then when Tottenham were just allowed to do whatever they wanted with the ball, basically, they were coming in off the side, just drifting in, and players taking the ball. There was no pressure on them. If they give Swansea that kind of space, then Swansea will, you know, just have a pass-a-thon, won't they? They'll just pass them to death, basically. And it seems like Newcastle are made to measure for Swansea, but are Swansea really at it? That's what I worry about them.
Yeah, can I just point? I know you were going to say that because it's a realistic reservation about them. But Swansea play every match like there's nothing at stake.
Yes, that's true.
And not only that, last season they were in the same position. And in the last seven games, they won four of them.
I think they are. I agree with you. I was going to say that. You know, that their style of play just lends itself to being quite relaxed anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think they'll cut Newcastle to ribbons here. I think if Newcastle are as standoff with Swansea as they were with Tottenham, then I think Swansea will win the game. I tell you what, I think is a massive price. The other downside is that there's no Bafétimbi Gomez for this, so they're really struggling for strikers. They've got Marvin Emnes, who really is a Championship striker. Maybe get something out of this Newcastle defence, to be fair. But I like Sigurdsson to score here. He's 23-10. Newcastle concede from all over the place. They concede from strikers and midfielders alike. Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win that headline offer, 7-1. I could have a little dabble on that.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
We finish off with QPR versus West Ham, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. QPR are 5-4 to win this game. The draw 12-5 and West Ham 21-10. QPR just with 26 points, joint bottom at the moment with Burnley, and they will have an eye on this match, Lee, is a realistic opportunity to collect 3 points and boy, do they need them at the moment.
Yeah, they do, don't they? It's hard to see where the goals are going to come from in this game, though, to be fair. And West Ham have scored 4 away goals since the turn of the year, and QPR have scored 4 home goals since the turn of the year. So, you know, it could be a pretty low score of this one. If I was carrying on with my theory that, you know, with relegation threatened clubs, they'll go for it, I'm just not sure that QPR have got that much about them to really go for it. West Ham, if they literally all walked out in flip-flops, you would not be surprised, would you? You know, with I Hate Sam t-shirts on. Because it just looks like they've literally, like, down tools.
I know. You know, one of their players asked about Ombre Soleil the other day, and Alibi said, I've already put in a bid for him. That's how clueless he is.
I think QPR will win. But 5-4.
It's short.
Jeez.
Isn't it? West Ham are still missing Andy Carroll, Diafra Sakho, and James Tompkins. I've mentioned Tompkins numerous times on the podcast, but he has been their driving force for the first half of the season in particular.
Yeah.
He was great. I think
everything worked together, didn't it? You know, obviously, Downing was good. You know, the strikers were fresh. Everyone's got injuries now, it seems. You know, Sacco's playing through injury, and Valencia's, you know, being brought back in before he should be, and all the rest of it. So, you know, they're just gone. You know, it's just, you know, they've done what they need to do this season, I guess. QPR, 7-5. They were 5-4 a second ago. 7-5 they are to win. I'm going to go for... I'll go Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win at 3-1. You should never chase the value, really, should you? But I'm chasing a bit there. I think if they do win, I think it'll be a fairly low score, and I think he's the man who could get it. So I'll go for the headline offer.
Yeah, we are recording this. Started recording this at 10:15. You'll find all the prices change at 11 a.m. on a Friday morning. So you often get different prices as we draw to the end of the podcast.
Why 11 o'clock on a Friday?
I have no idea.
Just
Derek.
When we finish, basically.
It's just the way the compilers
do it.
Just to mess us up, basically.
No, what it looks like. It looks like you're getting more value when you come off the podcast.
It does, doesn't it? Because all the prices that we put up are slightly shorter.
Yeah. DK napped a 4-6 shot. Wow.
So I'll be looking at my nap in a second.
It's 8-13 now.
Derek, what do you think about this match, QPR versus West Ham?
Well, Lee is going for the value. We're looking to bump up the price by going Austin to win, Austin to score in a QPR win. But I do that sometimes when the team is odds on, and the odds against the QPR, and I really can't see them not winning. You know, God knows how West Ham are where they are in the league table, because their form is as bad as Newcastle, and it has been for even longer than Newcastle's. QPR will win this, and I actually think 5-4 or 7-5 as it is now is a very good price.
Okay, 7-5 for QPR to beat West Ham. Let's finish with the naps then. Remember, as always, you can play this bet as a Trixie as well.
Or singles.
Which are singles, a patent. Derek, what's your best bet this weekend?
Oh, I noticed, by the way, Liverpool have gone out to 21-20 now. They were even 10-11 earlier in the week.
Yeah.
West Brom, I'm toying with the idea of going for them. There's a number of good bets there. I'm going to go... You know what? Oh, Aston Villa have gone out to 11-1. You know what? I'm going to sicken you both and go for Villa at 11-1.
Really?
11-1.
Wow.
I really like the look of that.
If it's not over, it
definitely
will.
Definitely play as a Trixie this week. Aston Villa 11-1 to beat Manchester City. Lee?
I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals in the Crystal Palace Hull match. And that was 13-10. Let's see if they've bumped mine up, shall we? I bet they haven't. Over 2.5 goals in that match at 13-10.
It is.
Is it still
13-10? And the bet that I liked has been slashed, which is weird. I'll still go with it. I'll go with the draw in the Arsenal-Chelsea match at 19-10.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah.
It has been cut in from 9-4. Hopefully you got the 9-4, listeners.
Yeah, it hasn't even got out on the internet yet. It's still listening live.
It's now 9-4. It's now 19-10 anyway. And that treble, Aston Villa 11-1, over 2.5 goals in the Crystal Palace Hull match 13-10, draw in the Arsenal Chelsea match 19-10. We need it, chaps. It's 79.04-1. That
chicken feed compared to what I normally deal with.
Well, precisely. Hopefully people have been reading the Mirror as well, Derek.
Indeed. Well, it'd be good. They'd be in the Cayman Islands now, or if they double their bet, they'd be in Canvey Island.
Thank you, Derek.
Cheers.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Derek.
See you, lads.
Thanks to everyone for listening to the podcast as well. Remember, you can download this via iTunes. Just type in William Hill, and you can get us on audioboom.com as well. Again, by typing in William Hill, myself, Lee and Derek will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.